Good morning, everyone. It's great to welcome you to our service today. This is the start of a new season for us at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. But as a church leadership team, we believe it's not a time to stand still. And we do believe that God has plans for us both together and individually. Our focus this term is on prayer. And with the disciples from the New Testament, we want to say again, Lord, teach us to pray. This week you should have received a document from the church leadership team which sets out our vision for prayer and the things that we've got planned for this term and beyond. And we really would like to encourage you to join us in deepening the prayer life of our church. We will be broadly following the themes from Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, and we encourage you to read this book during the autumn term. So together, let's become an adoring, petitioning, interceding, listening community. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together again today to worship you, to lift our praise to you, and to listen to you. And we pray, Lord, as we worship you together, as we listen together, that you may touch us today and that we might feel your presence with us today. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to meet. And we give you the praise and the glory and the adoration that is due to you. Amen. Let's listen to a few words from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Let's worship God together as we sing our first song, a great old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. Thank you to the band, and praise God as we're reminded again of his faithfulness to us. I want to encourage you for the next couple of minutes just to be still. If you can, just close your eyes wherever you are. And I'm going to read again the first six verses from Psalm 96. And as you meditate on the words, I'd encourage you to allow God to speak to you and to renew you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Amen. And now Jenny is going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Good morning. Let us pray. Father God, we pray your protection on all children and young people and those working with them as they return to school and university after months of missing regular teaching, as well as social interaction with friends and extended family. We ask your love and blessing upon them all, and upon our own children and young people who are part of this church family, that they all may know your deep love for each one of them. Thank you for all the gifts and talents you have given them that they want to use for you to glorify your name. We thank and praise you, Lord, for raising up people like Marcus Rashford, who shares your heart for the poor. We pray that his three recommendations for increased food and activity provision for children from poorer families will become reality here in the UK. Be with our government, Lord. Give them wisdom and good counsel in all the days ahead. We remember too, Lord, those who suffer poverty, injustice, exploitation, racism, turmoil, war, displacement, vulnerability, and persecution throughout the world. Have mercy on us, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this earth, so as Isaiah said, we will indeed turn swords into ploughshares. You have promised, Lord, that though our sins stain us like scarlet, you will whiten them like bright new fallen snow. And you have done that, Father. through Jesus. We pray for everyone working at Guinea Bor 2 Hospital in Chad, and remember particularly Mel and Tom, Bethan and Gareth, Brian and Jackie and their families, as part of the Baptist Missionary Society serving you there. We ask that you will provide a new surgeon to work there, Lord. We ask your presence and blessing too upon Lucy and David and their young baby as they prepare to return to Chad with Mission Africa, working with vulnerable women and sharing your word of truth with them. We thank you, Lord, for those who are working towards a vaccine for COVID-19 and that it would be pleasing to you to bless their work. We pray for all those in our church family who are unwell. We ask your blessing and healing for Kate, that she will no longer be anemic and that you will be with her on Thursday when she learns the results of her recent scan. Thank you for your love for her, Lord, and her love for you. We ask your blessing and healing for Esther. Thank you, Lord, that she is much better. We pray for protection from infection and for her blood levels to increase. And we pray your blessing upon Ian and the children too. Thank you for your love for them and their love for you. We ask your presence with and blessing upon Paul and Jill and all the plans you have for them in their retirement from ministry. And for everyone on CLT and the search team, and for recent profiles received, that we might all be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, you are a great and a glorious God and worthy to be praised. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. 4, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed 2 men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these 2 you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles.
Good morning. My name's Chris Bien, and I'm on the leadership of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. In the reading that we had read to us just now, We see the disciples, brothers and sisters in Christ, in an in-between time. Jesus has left them for the final time in human form, and the Holy Spirit has not yet been given. Their number has been depleted by Judas, who committed suicide after betraying Jesus in the garden. And the early church must have been thinking, what comes next? Where do we go from here? I suggest that this morning we find ourselves in a somewhat similar situation. Paul, our leader and pastor of 22 years, has left to a well-earned retirement. We are still unable to meet in person as a fellowship after 6 months. We cannot yet see when we will be able to do so. There are lots of things we would like to do, but probably can't at the present time. And so we wait. And we wonder, what comes next? Where do we go from here? The disciples had been told by Jesus to stay in Jerusalem and not to depart, but to wait for the promise from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Then would be the time to move. The future would become clearer, but just now they were to wait. Now, waiting can mean sitting in a corner doing nothing but dwelling on your problems for quite a long time. You might have that situation if ever you find yourself waiting in A&E. Or waiting can be an opportunity, a time to use fruitfully, and that's what the disciples did. We see them doing two things during this time of waiting. Firstly, and rather importantly, we see them devoting themselves to prayer. Secondly, they got on with what they could do and chose someone to succeed Judas as an apostle. That's not a bad pattern for us to follow during our time of waiting. I wonder what your ambitions and hopes are in this time of waiting. Ambitions and hopes for our church. Some of them will have been expressed when we had our vision day in May last year and fed into the profile of who we're looking for to lead us in the days ahead. In early March, before lockdown, most of the church leadership were able to attend an event called Fire Starters. The idea behind it was for churches who have known growth and encouragement to inspire, encourage and mentor other churches, to look to how God might work through them too. The idea was to be like someone who goes round starting fires in dry grassland so that the flames might catch and spread. One of the central lessons to come out of that fire starter event was the importance of prayer. All the churches that had known unusual growth were praying churches. God blesses those who pray. The church grows when its people pray. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God says to Israel that he wants to do so many good things for the house of Israel. He wants to put his spirit in their hearts to replace their stubborn hearts of stone. He wants to make their land fruitful like the Garden of Eden was. He wants to vindicate his people before all the surrounding nations. And God wants to do all these things for them, not because they were good people, but for the sake of his holy name. But despite wanting to do all these things, being ready to do all these things, in verse 36 the Lord says, I will let the house of Israel ask me to do it for them. Or as the old King James Version says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. He wants to do it, but he wants us to want him to do it and to ask him for it. Then he will answer our prayers. I will yet be inquired of to do it for them. And so in this autumn term, we're going to focus on prayer. In two of the thoughts for the week in August, Paul looked at how we might pray in a time of depression and anxiety, and those two thoughts are well worth reading again. But going into the autumn, we want the church to focus on prayer. We want our small groups and other groups to focus on prayer. We want you to pray, to draw close to God and to speak to him and listen to him. If you're not in a small group and would like to join one, then contact the church office and we'll get you into a group where you can grow and encourage one another, as well as pray together with a small number of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Our Sunday service thoughts will be based around learning to pray in the manner that Jesus taught. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," and he gave them the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. So we will be looking at prayer through the Lord's pattern prayer. So we want to begin our in-between time, as the disciples did, by devoting ourselves to prayer. But the second thing the disciples did was to do what they could, and they chose Matthias to replace Judas as an apostle. As a church, we are now looking for someone new to lead us going forward. The search team and church leadership are actively looking for who we might bring before the church to consider for that position. Please pray for that. There will be important decisions to make. Important decisions, because whatever else is true, when this in-between time ends, there will inevitably be differences and new horizons that were not there before. Not there before lockdown, not there before Paul retired. We will be on new ground. There will be new territory to reach out to. How do you view all of this? Are you excited? Do you have a sense of expectation of what the Lord can do through us? We need to step forward in faith, and sometimes our faith is tested more than at others. There will be new things to do, and we will do some of the old things in new ways. Things will be different, and we cannot just go back to the way things were before, just as Jesus' first disciples on their journey could not go back to the way things were before. But looking forward, that means new possibilities, new opportunities, a new generation to reach out to. What can we each do while we wait in the in-between time? Well, look at what the apostles thought was important. In choosing a replacement for Judas, the key criterion was that whoever was chosen must be a witness with them of Christ's resurrection. That was vital. It is Jesus' resurrection that is the clinching proof that Jesus was God, that he died to reconcile us back to God, and that God accepted his death and accepts us who call him our Lord and Saviour. That is the gospel, the good news we have to share. And each one of you who know and love Jesus and call him your Saviour from sin, the thing that separates us from God, can witness to his resurrection as these first disciples did. You know from personal experience the difference that knowing the resurrected Jesus makes in your life. So what can we do? In whatever way we can do it, we can take Jesus to a needy world to change it for the better. And we have three partners to enable us to do that. We have our dynamite. We have the gospel. Paul in Romans chapter 1 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And the Greek word for power there is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. We have the story of Jesus to tell, and when that is received by someone and they see Jesus for themselves, it is totally transforming. We see God's dunamis at work in someone's life. Secondly, we are called to love with God-given, God-inspired agape love. To love one another and to love our neighbours. This also speaks of the gospel to those around us. In John 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And as we love a loveless, worried, lonely world, we can bring them Jesus. He is the third and central partner in what we are about in reaching out. In fact, he's more than just a partner, he is what it is all about. The bottom line is that we want to introduce people to Jesus just like Philip did to Nathanael. Come and see who we found. Let me introduce you. Because when Jesus becomes your friend, you start a lifelong, exciting journey that you know not where it will end, but it will always be a better journey than the life journey without him. So we are now in the in-between time, but it is a time that, to coin a phrase, is pregnant with possibility. Life for Whitley Bay Baptist Church, life for each of us who fellowship in church, will never be the same again. But great things lie ahead. Let's pray for them. And finally, you might be wondering why I've recorded this in the street. It's because this is where the not yet people of God are. In the houses around us, in the shops, our neighbours. This is where we need to be talking about Jesus. This is where we need to be showing his love through our love and letting the gospel do its powerful work. Don't call them non-Christians, but call them the not yet people of God. This town, like everywhere, needs Jesus to impact it, and he has a great work to do here. We'd better get praying and doing. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, give us a desire to want what you want. Make us a praying people. Lead us in the way ahead. We pray, Lord, that we might see the power of the gospel at work here in Whitley Bay. And we ask, Lord, that you would use us to grow your church here in this town. We ask this for Jesus' name's sake and for his kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks again to all those who've been involved in the service today, both on camera and behind the scenes. And I really hope and pray that you've been touched by the presence of God today. Let's pray together as we close our service this morning. Let the love of the Father course through our veins. Let the goodness of Christ pulse through our bodies. Let the power of the Spirit flow through our souls. Let the wonder of God resonate through our minds. Glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and for all eternity. Amen.